The other part is we have more clipboards to add to the clipboards. Hope you're not bored of the clipboard. This is pretty cool. Sign up for the XO Marriage Conference. Now, we did this last year. Devin, you're one of the couples that was here last year. How was it?
It was great.
All right. You heard it out of the mouth. It was fun. We had a good time. We did like a simulcast thing where we watched it on the screens and then we interacted as couples. And as married people, you know, marriage is always easy. There's never any problems. You communicate perfectly. You're never misunderstood. And so we just go through this to laugh at the people who have to do that, or who have miscommunications. Just kidding. That's all of us. We all need help. This is a good accessories for a tool belt that we need in marriage. You know, there's things that we've learned or things that you've learned that we can share with each other to help us grow. I know Dennis and Judith. I almost said Dennis and Judas. Woo! Sorry. Dennis and Judith. They've shared before about growing your marriage. So marriage is a wonderful, life-giving, fruitful union that God designed for us to bear fruit together. But sometimes, more often than not, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy that. So the XO Marriage Conference sign-up sheet is here. It will get passed around. XO means hug and kiss, in case you didn't know. And if you've seen Nacho Libre, you know that a big X is a big hug and a little O is a little kiss. And the next one is a four-week growth track. Pastor Mike wanted to pass this out. So where you are today is very different from where you were this day last year. You've grown a lot since then. You've experienced a lot. You've grown a lot. And when you have a chance to reflect and look back, you see, oh, wow, I don't feel different. But when I reflect on what's happened and what I've gone through, I realize I've grown tremendously. So this four-week growth track is an opportunity kind of just to grow together, to grow with the church, and to create a mile marker that we get to look back on. This is where we were when we started, and this is where we're going to be, or where we will be in a couple months or 4 weeks. So that'll be underneath the XO Marriage Conference. And then I have a pen. Oh, it fell down. Thank you. So here you go. XO Marriage Conference and 4 week growth track. Another clipboard. And the last announcement is, today the service in Bishop is at 1:00 because of the Super Bowl. So it's an early service. Next week it resumes at 4 p.m. in Bishop. And Tuesday there is Tuesday evening prayer at 6 p.m. in Bishop. And then Justin Bell will be leading worship down there on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. for worship. So with that, yeah. We'll pray. Okay. So Jesus, we want you to be glorified. That's pretty simple. We want to lift you up. You're the raddest, the coolest, and the most righteous. We want to glorify you today, this morning. So set our hearts to honor and bless and praise you. Take all the confusion or distractions in our mind, put them to the side that we could see you and be refreshed in you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to take you on an adventure today. Is that okay? All right. So before this adventure, I'm going to read something that's really important. David wrote in Psalms 139, "Where can I go from your spirit, and where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." So what he's saying is, there is nowhere I can go that you're not there. You're with me everywhere. So that's the theme. The constant help, the constant care of a consistent king. Sorry, is where we're going today. So I got my notes. Some of you have been with us in the past. You might have heard a story, a testimony that I shared several months ago. Some of you may have, and some of you haven't. That's okay. You're going to hear more today. But I have to tell you that eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the great things that he has in store for those who love him. Hold on to that too. He's always with you, and he's got great things in store for us. So I had shared in the past about an experience of seeing a man in the Khmer Rouge give his life to Jesus, a man who had killed probably over 1,000 people. Raise your hand if you heard that. Okay, so a handful of you. So after that moment, it was the most powerful experience of my life up to that time, of seeing this mass murderer encounter Jesus. So I'm on a bus the next day to Vietnam, and I'm journaling. Oh, Lord, that was incredible. I'll do anything for you. I'll go anywhere for you. And I hear him speak to me, and he says, I'm sending you back to the U.S. to go across America and speak about my faithfulness. And I said, well, that's dumb, Lord. I'm in Asia. I just got a 6-month visa to go back to Indonesia. Okay, if you say so, then you have to change my flight for free because I have no money. Well, sure enough, I get back to Indonesia, I hop on my motorbike, and I zoom over to the airport. I get into the airport, I ask him, hey, I have to leave early. Can I change my flight? And the lady says, doo, 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 on the computer, oh, sure. Actually, the flight's $200 cheaper if you leave in a couple days, so here, I'll give you $200 back. Whoa, that was cool. Oh, thanks. So I get back to the U.S. My plan was to be overseas, and now I'm back in the U.S. because on the bus, the Lord said, I'm going to send you across America to speak of my faithfulness. I wrote it in my book, my journal. It was one of those anchor points in my life. Well, I get back. I have no idea how to start. You want me to go across America and speak about your faithfulness. Well, I reactivate my cell phone because when you're overseas, your U.S. number is worthless. So I reactivate my phone. I put the number on Facebook. A girl calls me from Wichita, Kansas, named JD. Hey, Richard, I heard you share about the work you were doing with kids overseas. I felt God put it on my heart to arrange or organize a trip for you to speak at universities from San Diego to Maine and back. What? Wow. Well, that was easy. Thanks, Lord. So she organized and planned everything. She did all the logistics. Universities throughout all of the United States, except Alabama and Michigan, and Alaska and Hawaii. Every state except those four. Colleges, coffee shops, churches. She just organized it. Whoa. And she said, do you need a place to stay? I said, oh, if the Lord opened the door for all this, he'll take care of the place to stay. Don't worry. She said, okay, cool. So now, here's the thing. I'm in San Diego, and for a week I was sleeping on a friend's couch. This just happened the first week I got back. She started organizing this thing. Well, while I'm there, it's beautiful. You've been to San Diego before, you know. Lord, I got to get off my friend's couch. I'd like a place to live while I'm here. Can you provide a boat? I just love to live on a boat. Totally random. But 3 days later, a friend takes me to lunch and says, hey, do you need a place to live? One of the elders at the church wants to give you his boat. What? Are you serious? He said, yeah, it's a 34-foot cabin cruiser. It sleeps 4, but you can have it. What? Are you kidding me? And so I call this guy Mick. Mick, hey, it's Richard. He knows me as Chardo, my nickname. He says, oh, yeah, Chardo, man, that boat's cost me so much money. It's been a drain. But if you stay on it, it'll redeem it for us. Can you go stay on it? You can have it if you want it. I don't want your boat, but thank you. I'll stay on it. And so I move into this boat. And now I'm on the boat. And all I have is a little tiny 49 cubic centimeter scooter that you can actually pick up. I have no car. But man, I was so happy. The Lord just gave me a boat. I have a little scooter that goes 25 miles an hour. And when I want to see my family, it takes an hour and a half to go what would normally take 30 minutes in a car. And it was baby blue with pink stripes. And it was small. And so here I am, Dumb and Dumber style, cruising around with the biggest smile on my face, bugs in my teeth. Yeah, Lord, you're so good. Thank you. But a friend that I had met in Indonesia before, who was going through, who wanted to get clean from addiction, he called and says, hey, can I come out and do ministry with you in San Diego while you're here and just and stay with you? Sure, I got a boat. Come on out. But now I don't have a car. I said, I'll pick you up at the airport. Just trusting that God will do it. And at this point, I hadn't asked anybody for anything. I kept all my requests to the Lord. For the Lord is sufficient for every need. And he supplies all of our needs by the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. You've heard that one. It's Philippians 4:19. So he's planning to come in on a Tuesday. And here I am Tuesday morning like, wow, I can't go pick him up on my baby blue pink striped scooter. That would look really awkward, driving two guys on this thing. So I'm just worshiping the Lord in the boat in the morning. And I get a random phone call from somebody that I know, but I just didn't spend a lot of time with them. And he said, Richard, I've got this 1979 Volkswagen bus, fully restored. It's really pretty, but it just sits here. It's unused. Do you need a car while you're in town? Yeah? He said, cool. It's over here parked down the street. It was down the street from where I was with the scooter. Whoa, perfect. So I just motor over and I fire up this cool, it was a Twinkie. It was orange and white, like a creamsicle or a Twinkie. Beautiful Volkswagen bus, and it shot fire out of the exhaust. I got pulled over for that, but it wasn't my fault. Anyway, nobody knew that I needed a car to pick up Taylor this morning, or this afternoon. So I hop in the van, put gas in it, and onward, I go pick up Taylor. And Taylor, you know, he's tripping out. Wow, that's a really neat bus. Hey, I got to tell you the story. The Lord just provided it for you and me to go around San Diego and to share of his faithfulness. And he's like, wow, cool. And so for the next 2.5 months, that's what we did. We just drove around. We didn't have a job at the time. I was running a ministry, but we had a mission just to share God's love. We had no income, but we had a big Jesus. And every day we'd wake up, we'd ask him, Lord, thank you that you'll supply our daily bread today. And every day, it's a miracle, but for some reason, we just kept getting money out of the blue to the point where we would take people out for breakfast and out for lunch and out for dinner. And every time we would run out, it would just miraculously refill. My bank card, I called the Jesus card because it never went empty. What the heck? This is cool. How is there money just always coming, Lord? Whether it was on the bank card or people just giving cash, whoa. But he says you'll be fed by the fruit of your lips in his word. We're fed by the fruit of our lips. We were fed by the fruit of our lips. All we did was go around and share his faithfulness with people. So, this is where it gets pretty cool. The trip's all booked from JD. The trip needs me to leave on March 12th, 10 years ago. So I'm almost at the 10-year anniversary mark of this. March 12th, I have to leave. I talked to my buddy with the bus, and I said, hey, what do you think about a trip across the country and the thing? He's like, nope, it will die. But we'll pray that Jesus bless you with something. Cool. And so then a friend calls me and says, hey, Richard, I think I need to buy you a car for your trip. What? But then as I prayed about it, Lord, is that the car? And the Lord said, no. What? Okay. So I tell him, hey, thanks for the offer, but that's not the one. He said, what? I'm offering to buy you a car and you're saying no? I said, well, that's weird, but the Lord just said no. I know that's not the one. He's like, okay, cool. Then we'll pray together with you. So now I'm at the, it's March 11th. I'm at the car wash, detailing out the van to give it back to my friend. I don't have a car to leave the next day. I'm getting calls from friends and family. Hey, did you get a car? It's kind of scoffing at me. Hey, did you get a car yet? No. I didn't ask anybody, and I wasn't going to. I just kept that a prayer between me and the Lord. I'm not going to ask people for a car. I want you to do this miraculously, Lord. Pause. So then, as I'm at the car wash, my phone rings. And it's a couple I don't know and I'd never met. And they said, we've heard about you needing a car for some upcoming trip from somebody in L.A. I live in San Diego right now at that point. We have a car in Carlsbad, where I was. Do you want it? Well, what is it? Oh, it's an Infiniti. What? Sure, I'll check it out. Well, the 11th hour, literally, at 6 p.m. on the 11th of March. I had to leave at 5 a.m. the next day. At 6 p.m., I go drive over, or get a ride over, to see this car, and it's a gorgeous Infiniti sports car. I mean, you push a button and the window tint shades go up. You adjust your headlights. It's like sitting in a couch. It's on sport suspension. The thing was really cool. I was praying for a Prius, thinking if I'm driving across the U.S., it would be more practical. But the Lord said, no, I've got a sports car for you, bro. Oh, Lord, thanks. And so 11 hours, I pick it up at 6 p.m., and the guy that I meet him at his office for the car, he said, we actually weren't planning on giving this away, but now that you're here, the Lord is just saying to just give it to you and go. Whoa. He said, and I want to fill the gas tank for you. Let me get it detailed really quick for you. What? Okay. So we take off in a detailed car full of gas, me and one friend. We leave the next morning on the 12th. We get to Las Cruces, New Mexico that night and speak with a Campus Crusade for Christ club and tell them about God's faithfulness. And I pull out my car keys and I say, and that was the first stop on this whole go across the U.S. and share God's faithfulness. Here's my Infiniti car keys, guys. I want to tell you about God's faithfulness. He just gave me this car last night to come tell you about how faithful he is and how good he is. You can pray big prayers. He knows all your needs and he wants to care for you and he never will fail. He never will fail. He's not going to choose you. He's not going to choose you. He's not going to choose you to fail on for the first time in human history. You're not going to be the example, the crowning example to the world of God failing. You're going to be one that gets to live in his faithfulness. So, from Las Cruces, New Mexico, God does a mighty work there. So many people, so many college kids are touched, encouraged to step out and to follow Jesus. You see, there's a great commission in this book at the end of Matthew that says, go into all the world. And in Mark, go into all the world and preach this gospel in every nation. You know the Great Commission. And so that was an encouragement. Go. He's faithful. He'll be with you because he's for you. And he won't fail because he's for you. So from New Mexico, we're staying at this one. He was a young assistant pastor. They offer, we didn't even have a place to stay. We get there and just start sharing, and then this guy comes up. Hey, where are you staying? Oh, we don't know. Oh, come stay at our house. Okay, thanks. So the trip was like this. We didn't have places to stay lined up. God did it every single day without us even asking. So we're staying at this young pastor's house. It's March 14th. I'm sitting on the couch in the morning. I'm having coffee. I open my Bible to Psalms just to have a little dessert with my coffee. And they're in the kitchen. My friend that was with me was talking with them in the kitchen. It was just me on the couch. And I feel a stirring in my spirit to the point where I had to put my coffee down. Whoa. What is it, Lord? And the Lord says, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations, to declare my faithfulness. Okay. The nations. All I had really been to was just a little part of Southeast Asia at this point. But you just said the nations. Well, So my response was, well, then you can do it. You just brought me here with a free car. You'll take care of the rest then. So where do you want me to go, Lord? And he highlights a couple things to me that I write in my journal. Journaling is a valuable thing. It's a good way of looking back and remembering what God has done. And in that journal, as he's speaking to me on the couch, he's showing me, I want you to go and build a school in Haiti. I want you to build a school in Uganda. I want you to expand the children's home in Indonesia, an orphanage, and I want you to expand a school, an orphanage in Burma. Okay, I'll put it down. And here I am thinking with the practical brain of a human being. Well, Lord, if you want me to do that, that's going to at least be $250,000. But whatever, you can take care of it. Close the journal, finish my coffee. Wow, that was cool. Thank you, Lord. Carry on with the day. Take off for the next part of the trip. End up in Colorado. Have pizza with a kid from the Campus Crusade group. He says, hey, where are you staying? I don't know. Oh, come stay at our house. Sure. So we got to stay at his house. He introduced us to his parents. His parents come up like, wow, you guys are just trusting the Lord? Yeah. We're going where he leads, sharing about his faithfulness. And so they come down and give us an envelope full of cash. Wow, thanks. But we actually don't need the extra $500 because we still have $500 in the bank. So why do I need extra? I've got what I need already. Interesting mindset, but it's God supplying all of our needs every day. So the next day, I give the money to Kevin, my travel companion. Kevin, ask the Lord what he wants us to do with this $500. So we're skateboarding around UC Boulder. We brought a puppy, our friend Chris's puppy, who we just stayed with, thinking, hey, maybe we'll meet a cool Jesus-loving gal or something with a puppy at a college. Dumb move. But we do meet a group of people fundraising and selling cookies and sweets to go to, maybe it was Haiti, to go do a project in Haiti, a mission trip. And so Kevin and I skate away after buying some brownies. And Kevin says, wait, Richard, the Lord just told me to give her the $500. Oh, okay. So we go back. And we're just two knuckleheads, mustaches, on skateboards. Hey, this is from Jesus. Here's $500. And she's like, whoa, that was my fundraising goal for today. I can go on my trip. Whoa, we're rad. Thank you, Lord. Well, we leave there. We go to the next place. And it kept happening where envelopes of money kept showing up, but we kept giving it away. And always, or every time we had everything that we needed, where we'd stash an envelope of $500 in someone's fridge for letting us stay there for the night. That was a cool couple. They ended up becoming missionaries and moving to Kenya. They were inspired by the step out and follow Jesus. Trust him with all your life. And they did it. But as we leave the money in their fridge, we come out to the car, say goodbye, thank you guys. He hands me an envelope. Oh, $500. He didn't know that there was one in the fridge with $500. And so there was this revolving $500 fun Jesus currency thing happening from the West Coast to the East Coast. The Lord continued to do this. To the point where we would just be in the middle of eating lunch at a Panera and somebody would walk up and say, hey, what do you do? Missionary traveling the country, sharing about God's faithfulness. Like, God, that's what I felt. God wanted me to just come over here and here's money. Or let me write you a check. Like, oh, what the heck? How does this happen? This is really neat. We never lacked anything. We always had a comfortable place to stay. Our gas tank always had gas. Didn't matter if it was a hybrid or not. God took care of it, even though it was a V8 sports car that he totally provided. Awesome. So all across the U.S., and we get to D.C., we stay in an estate that has, oh, it's like a, no, it wasn't a estate. It was huge. The place where you drive up, and it's like, when does this driveway end? Through the woods, and you get to a house on a hill, and it's gorgeous, something like an old president probably used to live there. Thank you. And get in, and here's a hedge fund manager. And he's hearing about the faithfulness of the Lord. Well, I noticed at the time, while my car was in the really gorgeous driveway of the really big house, that the Jesus Mobile needed two back tires because the metal was showing on them. Well, whatever. He'll take care of it, Lord. It's your car. So as we're there, this man offers a job and says, hey, I'd like you to stay and work with our company for the next year. I'll give you, or next 2 years, I'll give you $10,000 a month. You can work for 2 years and you'll have your $250,000 to build the school. Do these projects that God put on your heart. I said, that's awesome. Let me go upstairs and pray about it. And I went upstairs to my luxurious suite in this estate. Lord, what do you think? That's a great deal. And the Lord said, no. What do you want me to do? Just trust me. Oh, okay. And I go downstairs. Hey, thank you for the offer. I went upstairs and the first thing the Lord said was no. And he says, that's good. Because when you went upstairs, the first thing the Lord said was no. That's not for you. And then he's like, but the Lord said you need something for your car. And he gave me some money. He's like, you need new tires or something? He had no idea. I didn't say it to anybody. You need new tires or something? Here's some money. What? Thanks, Papa. And so I leave there and continue the journey up to Maine and back down. And I will spare you all of the details of every single stop because it can be very extensive. But God moved. People's lives were getting totally transformed by the simple message of God is faithful. You can trust him. Look, he gave me this car to come tell you at this McDonald's. Actually, I'm going to buy you breakfast because he wants you to know he cares about you. And people would just break down and cry over stuff like this. And they'd have an encounter with Jesus. Everywhere, God was moving. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. David says it. We know that passage because afterwards it says, in your presence is the fullness of joy, which is really beautiful. But he shows us the path of life that leads us into his presence regularly, where at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So he showed me the path of life to follow him in this. We could trust him. He never failed. We could trust him. Well, here goes the journey. And then I get a phone call from the kid in Colorado. And he says, Richard, my dad died. He was an alcoholic. He was wealthy. My grandpa started the Miami Dolphins football team and left his 10 kids a ton of money. The money divided the whole family. The 10 kids don't talk. And my dad was an alcoholic and died drinking to death. I have this money, a bunch of money. I want it to be redeemed. Can I give it to you in the ministry? I didn't know what he was talking about, how much. He didn't say a number. And he says, and Richard, I know you're not asking for anything. I know you won't make your needs known. So he said, when you get back to San Diego and you finish this trip, call me. I want to buy you a ticket. Let's go to Haiti and see if we can get involved in a project there. I hadn't shared with anybody that the Lord showed me Haiti, Uganda, Burma, and Indonesia. I hadn't shared with anybody. That was just here and in my journal. So it was June 9th. The trip was a success. 16,000 miles, never lacked a single thing. Ate amazing, gained weight, went up a pant size from all the good food the Lord provided. Oh, this is fun. Quick tangent. We're coming up the grapevine, the back of the grapevine, the home stretch. And on the home stretch, the transmission of the Jesus Mobile starts to go. Oh, no. And I say to my buddy Matt, so Kevin went with me to East Coast. Matt came back with me the other way. And Matt's a 6'5" collegiate athlete, Norwegian, red beard, down to his belly button guy. Really neat. Really neat guy. Matt, open up Psalm 34. Let's just start praying it and reading it. And so we just start, so we memorize the whole chapter of Psalm 34. And Lord, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver us from them all. Oh, this poor man cried out and you heard me and you delivered me from all of my troubles. And we kept going. And we went through this passage over and over. And the more we did it, the less the transmission slipped. Until the point where we got to the top of the hill and the train, he stopped its issues. Oh, Jesus, thank you. We made it back, and when I left for overseas to go to Haiti, Lord, I could sell this car for some money, but what do you want to do with it? It's yours. And he said, I'll give it to so-and-so. Okay. Hey, here's the Infiniti. God bless you. What? And he, like, Greg was so pumped. He needed a car. And he drove that thing for years without any issue. The transmission was fine. It was a Jesus transmission. He fixed it. Actually, Greg called me once on my, was it Facebook Messenger or Skype? Whatever, one of those ways you can communicate while you're overseas. He called me and said, Richard, somebody stole the Jesus mobile from the church parking lot. And I said, Greg, just ask the Lord where it's at. It's his car. And Greg, who, it's just a really cool, just humble, mellow beach dude. All right, Lord, where's the car? So he hops in the church van, which was rusted through the floor, you know, you kind of Flintstone style. Hops in the church van, and the Lord leads him down the street, turn after turn into the neighborhood, just like totally supernatural, right to the car. Whoa. And he gets there, he calls me, I found the Jesus mobile, and the keys are in it. The guy ran out of gas, and he's like, wow, how funny. I knew I needed gas. I just didn't get it before I went to church that day. So the Jesus mobile ended up back in the right hands. So the trip is finished in June. Chris says, I want to fly you out to Haiti. Okay. Thanks, Chris. He's the kid from Colorado. We fly down to Haiti. Well, that was a crazy experience. Haiti is a very interesting place. And if you've ever been there, you might echo the same sentiment that the only way that that country will ever be good again is when Jesus comes back and restores the whole earth. Haiti is a total mess. The corruption, the crime, the violence, it is deep. And then it's the country I didn't know until we were there, but the president's like, sign it over in a blood contract to the devil. And they practice voodoo there very adamantly. So as we're in Haiti, happened to be, you know, a million degrees outside, hot and humid. And we're there kind of scoping out a project. Now, the people we partnered with, this woman, she works with like presidents of countries. She's so anointed and favored. A wonderful gal. She was a single gal at the time too, married with kids now. But she started a school, started a kids' home, and started a medical clinic, and started a recycling clinic. Started businesses for people. But the school that she started was on top of a hill. And the locals didn't want us to build a Christian school up there, so they'd go up there and they would sacrifice cats and do all these voodoo ceremonies to curse the land. Well, during the week that we're there, she just would nudge, like, hey, guys, we need to go to the top of the hill. Why? Oh, there's some spiritual warfare happening. We're going to go stop it. Okay. Go up with our flip-flops, hike up a hill at night with no lights around you, just your little cell phone light or something. And we're worshiping while we're walking up the hill. Oh, Lord, you're so good. And get to the top of the hill. Sure enough, they're doing these voodoo ceremonies on the land. But, man, when you walk in worship and walk in the presence and the goodness of the Lord, there is an army of heavenly hosts with you. We'd walk up there and they would split like there was an army behind us. And we would hear from the community when you came up, they saw an army of fiery angels behind you. Whoa, cool. I don't see them, but I want to see them. So that week, me and Chris just ate bowls of rice, nothing else. That's all we had was rice. Breakfast, bowl of rice. Lunch, bowl of rice. Dinner, bowl of rice. And a Clif Bar for dessert. I don't really like rice too much anymore, but that's okay. I'm grateful for something to put in my belly. So as we're there, Chris keeps asking every single day while we're getting annihilated by bed bugs and mosquitoes, Richard, what should we do with this money? I don't know. Ask the Lord. Okay, I'll ask him. That's the bed bugs and mosquitoes. I don't know, Chris, but just ask the Lord. Okay. And the next day, Richard, what are we going to do with this money? Oh, I don't know. Just ask the Lord. Same thing for 7 days. And then as the trip closes, Chris and I take off. He goes back to where he's going. Actually, he stops in Boston. I come back to California. Happens to be, I think, Father's Day morning. And I'm at Bodine's sourdough place in San Francisco Airport, about to delight in some sourdough. And my phone rings, and it's Chris. Richard, the Lord showed me what to do with this money. Oh yeah, what is it? He said, the money is for, it's for Uganda, it's for Haiti, it's for Burma, it's for Indonesia. What? That's exactly what the Lord showed me. Yeah, I'm going to give you $250,000. What? That's exactly what I thought we needed. Whoa, cool. Wow, okay. He said, and I want to go with you on all these trips. I'd been going on a lot of these things alone because the Lord said go, and I would go. I'd invite people with me on trips. Sometimes people would come, sometimes people wouldn't. But it was always better to have a buddy. So Chris and I take off, and we head over to Indonesia. The only place he didn't go with me was Burma, but we did Haiti, Uganda, and Indonesia. It was amazing. God started to show vision, give plans, and he provided for it. In Uganda, this is actually really special. This is one of the highlights on my notes. In Uganda, there was a school in a little mud brick stick building. To give you a picture of size, it would be like half of the back half of the church. And it was packed with children. One of the sweet things is all the kids shave their heads so no kids get lice. It's kind of like, we should just all wear masks so nobody gets sick, right? But none of the kids had hair, and they all had their little school uniforms. Really cute little black kids, just so fun, so full of energy. And then, like, man, this place is really small. There's a lot of kids that need school. Well, let's build a school. So, as we're walking around the village, we see this piece of land on a hillside where there's a bunch of banana trees and other bushes. Can we buy that land? And we're talking with our, who became our coordinator. Her name is Olive. And Olive melts in the presence of Jesus. When she starts talking about him, tears start flowing. She knows the Lord. She loves the Lord. Olive, can we buy this land? And she says, it's owned by a Muslim man. And he's really mean. Okay, Lord, would you just do something in his life to cause him to need to sell that land? So they go knock on his door. Hey, can we buy your land? No! Okay, let us know if you want to. We'll be praying God changes your heart. And then a week later, this guy calls. I need money. I'll sell you my land. Okay, and so we bought 3 acres for $1,000. Good price. And now we got this jungle. Okay. Now what, Lord? So we hired the villagers. I'm not kidding. Abraham came, Moses came, Joshua came, Caleb came. And a lot of these villagers had really biblical names. And so I'm clearing out a jungle with Abraham and Moses. Moses was 74 years old at the time. Moses had never been married. He longed to be married. He had his own little farm. Moses worked. I thought I could work. I like to work. But he put me to shame. Sunrise to sundown, he was out there hauling out weeds and trees and bushes, cutting down trees. That guy was a stud. So I bought these bottles of water thinking, you know, you guys should have water. You know, I'm hiring you and I make sure you're having water. He said, no, I don't drink water. What? Moses, you don't drink water? He said, no, I've never drank water. I only drink tea. Really? Okay, 74, fit as ever. A stud. All he drank was tea. Now, his teeth showed that all he drank was tea. So we finished clearing the land. Moses goes and gets himself a wife afterwards. Now that he has money to buy a dowry, he goes and gets married. And he's like, Richard, this is because of you guys that I can get married. Wow! That was just Jesus. It was his provision. He's faithful. He knew your heart, and he provided for you. Just pointed all back to Jesus and his goodness. So Moses got married. He's stoked. I think he's 74 and she was 34. So, happy man. We cleared the land. Everybody got paid well because Jesus provided for them to get paid well. The other man, Abraham, he went and got himself a wife too because he could afford a dowry now. And so all these men that helped us all started getting married. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Jonah, Bob, all of them. And we hire an excavator. Now, I meet with a contractor there. The contractor's name is Sam. Sam, we need to excavate the land. We want to put on 6 buildings. That's what we have in our budget because we allocated a certain amount of money for Uganda. And Sam's like, why are you doing this? Oh, Jesus provided and Jesus directed and Jesus just did it all because he's so good and he cares about you and he cares about your country and he cares about the kids and he wants to bless them. That's why we're here to do this. And Sam says, well, you can't afford to build a whole school with that budget. He said, but God is good. I'll pay for the rest of it. Holy cow! So we paid for 6 buildings. $50,000 for 6 buildings and a teacher's office and a latrine, an outhouse. And then he built the other 6 buildings. He paid for those. So now we have the best school in the entire county. So the county, to give you scope, would be like maybe San Diego, the size of San Diego County. Big county. It's the number one school with the highest grades and the highest test scores in all of the county in Uganda. And it brought villages together. So other villages from Chito to Chisoba and another one, I forget the name of it, lots of baboons over there, that all the kids would come to our school. The school, how we designed it, God gave vision. Richard, these kids only eat sugarcane on their way home. They have no food for lunch, and they have a glass of milk for breakfast. So, the Lord gave strategy. The strategy was, and still is, the parents who can't afford to pay for their kids' small and meager school fees can donate some of their crops from their land because everybody has land and they farm their sustenance lifestyle. So the parents donate food and then the other parents who can pay, pay. So teachers get salary from the kids whose families can pay. We ended up building homes for the teachers too. So now the teachers have homes. There's offices, there's classrooms, there are gorgeous schools on a hillside, staggered down a hillside with a view of just lush tropical Uganda. And every single day, the kids get a meal. All the kids get free lunch. So it started with, I think, 300 kids, and now it's probably, last year was 680, and now it's probably 850 kids. And the whole hinge point of the whole school was all of the kids that come, they get to hear about the love of Jesus. It's a Christian school. So every year, these kids, new kids come in, and learn about Jesus. Parents get to help, just like we do with the co-op here. They get to help to reduce some of the school fees if they can't afford it and if they don't have enough food to donate. So these kids are getting an awesome education. Like I said, the highest marks in the region, all because of Jesus. And this Muslim guy who sold the land, he said, you can have the land, you know, sells it to us. He said, and take my 8 kids with you. Huh? Yeah, he's like, they're all dumb. They're not educated. Take them with you. Okay, but we're Christian. We're going to tell them about the gospel, the Injil of Isa, the gospel of Jesus. And he says, that's fine, whatever. Take them. Okay. So we got all of his kids, and they all know Jesus now too. So I wouldn't be surprised if this mean, cranky, grumpy Muslim dude knows Jesus because his 8 kids will probably come home every day and say, Daddy, Jesus is so good. You know? Out of the mouth of babes. So far, so good. The Lord is faithful. He never fails. He never has, and he never will. So then, all this money went into the places that God had designed. We built a school in Haiti, or at least we built a bunch of classrooms up there. And now there are 2,000 students that learn about the love of Jesus on a rotating, you know, more kids coming in every year. Jesus, 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 Jesus. To the point where the community of voodoo is now transformed. Ha ha! We took that mountain for Jesus. The whole community, all the kids know Jesus because they get to come to a wonderful, amazing Christian school that's impacted not just that community, but again, just like the one in Uganda, the whole province. God did it. God was faithful. In Myanmar, that's where I met Grace. Actually, I met her because the money was there to go do this. Kind of cool, but we expanded the children's home there. and it's 1,500,000 degrees there when it's hot. Much hotter than everywhere else. Because it's like equator, you're there. Soaking in the equator and all of its hot glory. So the kids needed these outside like veranda spaces to study, because if you go into these concrete box buildings, it looks like Soviet-style row homes, and it goes for about a half a mile of Soviet-style row homes. And each row home is about probably a quarter mile. It's really an eerie place, no airflow. So they needed to sit outside, and so we built these outside porches, and we helped redig a water well so the kids could get better water, because Jesus provided. And I found a wife, too. Abraham, Moses, Caleb, and David, all those guys found wives, so I got my turn. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? God is faithful. He will always care for us. Like David said when I read Psalm 139, if I take the wings of the morning or dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and you will guide me. There's nowhere we can go apart from his presence. So if we're always in his presence, then we can always trust him. And in Isaiah, in Isaiah 55, he says, as the word goes forth from my mouth, it accomplishes that for which I've sent it, and it does not return to me void. We know that part. But before that, he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts above yours. And so if that's actually true, which I believe it is because it comes from a book called The Truth, if that's true, his ways are higher and his thoughts are better, and he's with me always, then I don't ever have to worry or stress about where anything is going to come from. And if God puts a call on my life or on your life, or you feel a nudge or a tug or a push or a pull to go somewhere to do something, go and do it. He will never fail. He is always faithful. Always faithful. God will provide. Chuck Smith used to say, where God guides, God provides. It's true. God provides. The flights to get to all these places, to do all these things, by his grace, he brought me to 54 countries and to work and build projects in 17 of them. I never had an income the entire time. I never asked for money. I never sent out a support letter. I didn't say, oh, guys, hey, pray for me, I'm stuck. No. Lord, I'm going to enjoy this pizza and soda and spend my last $6. You'll take care of me tomorrow, because you know I need to fly halfway around the world. But I have my $6 and a big Jesus. And after my $6, I had a full belly with pizza, and I had nothing left. And the next day, who showed up? The faithful one. Over 300, I'd say probably 350 free airplane rides around the world. Never asked for a single one. All miraculous. All happened. All by just asking him, the God who's sufficient for every need. Always. And never fails. So my encouragement to all of us as a church is, if God's put a nudge, a tug, a push, a pull, a desire on your heart to do something, to step out and go and do it. You get to the edge of the diving board, and that's where you discover there's faith that you can actually walk out on that water. You won't fall because he won't let you fall. And you won't fail because he won't let you fail. If he's called you into it, he'll provide for you through it. Does that make sense? Awesome. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 10, 1-4, where it says they drank from the same spiritual drink and they ate from the same spiritual food, which was the rock of Christ. It was referring to Israel as they wandered through the desert. There was a rock that flowed water that followed them for 40 years. A rock, like a boulder, that followed the people of Israel and had a constant flow of water. A rock. I mean, what a trippy thing. But it was always there, and they always had what they needed. God rocks. Then, at night, there was a pillar of fire in the sky. If I walked out, or if you did, we'd walk out and see a pillar of fire in the sky, I'm sure we'd all have a very similar trip-out experience. Whoa, what is that? Is that SpaceX? I don't know. That's crazy. Every single night they had a pillar of fire, even in the midst of them worshiping a golden calf. Their food was fed by the food, or their stomach was fed by the food that fell from heaven. They were full on God's faithful provision. They drank from God's faithful provision. They were covered with a cloud by day by God's faithful provision, and at night they could see by God's faithful provision. Their sandals never wore out by God's faithful provision. He's the same God then and today for us. The faithful provider that will never fail. The constant care he gives us shows that he is our consistent king. He is faithful, my friends. He is faithful. He will not fail. So, to wrap it up, Philippians 4:19, I said it before and I'll say it again. Because he cares for us and he's with us, my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches of his glory in Christ. Hold on to that. Let that be an anchor passage for you, because we're in a crazy season of life. You might have seen the news. Ukraine, for example. You could speculate, if Russia takes Ukraine, what else are they going to continue to do? If nobody stands up to stop them, they've got forces in Syria. What's next door to Syria? The beloved Israel. The Bible says it many times. Mark 14, Luke 21, Matthew 24. When you see these Israel surrounded by enemies on all sides, watch. No. God's doing something. So we're in a season where stuff can change, but know that God is faithful and he's got your back. He will never fail on any of us because we're his kids. He's good. He's really good. So that story, that testimony I shared, is just a little window of time. That was 4 months or so, or 5 months of a 5-year journey. And another time you'll hear more, because that is a mission he told me to share of his faithfulness. And that's when you see me have more confidence, when I get to talk about his faithfulness. And that's what my identity is. And I can try and strive for people to like me, to see me as something, but really when it comes down to it, I just want to be known as a man that's on fire for Jesus. And I hope that the fire can be contagious for all of us. He's faithful. He's who we live for. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, would you bless us today? Those who have calls and stirring in their hearts for something, give them courage and equip them to step out in faith to do it. Bless and increase this gift and measure of faith inside of us, that we could walk on water, that we could know a life with no borders, where we can walk through walls, where we can be the superhero that you designed us to be, to share your gospel, to build your kingdom, unafraid of the world and unafraid of what we may or may not have. You are always with us. If my God is for me, who can be against me? So all of us as a church, may we be blessed to grow in faith today, to know that God will supply our needs by the riches of his glory in Jesus. So I bless you all. Amen. Amen. Woohoo! And if... thanks. If you guys want some prayer, there's a few of us. There's Don, there's me, there's Dennis, there's John back here. And if you don't, cool. We also take hugs. Happy...